The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and to listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name's Chris, and I'll be your host as we talk about the 1986 horror film, Neon Maniacs.
They live so others may die. Neon Maniacs.
Tonight I am joined by Scott, Rebecca, Aaron, and Todd. How's it going, everyone?
Hey.
What's up?
It's going.
This was a very troubled episode already because my power went out right before we were starting the movie and I missed the very end. But I'll save that because I have many opinions about this movie without even seeing the end.
And then I got real sleepy and then I had to look at Chris's balls while we were trying to get the ball set up. It was like all bad things and one good thing.
Just testing out the webcam, Todd. Just testing out the webcam. Never used it on the laptop. Pretty clear. You could see the outline of my testicles through my underpants. Very clear.
A-plus on the special effects there.
Boner cam is operational.
So, Neon Maniacs. Like I said, I missed the end, and I missed a little bit of the beginning because of my power issues. But what I picked up from watching the middle of the movie was that it was a bunch of Lord of the Rings orc rejects somehow living under the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
In San Francisco, come out and stalk and kill a bunch of teenagers. However, one of the teenagers, Natalie, survives the assault, and the next day these neon maniacs search for her to kill her. And they introduced a few other characters along the way, but that's basically the whole plot of the movie is these neon maniacs hunting down Natalie through San Francisco. She's a high school student, and she's very popular because she is pretty. I don't understand her lifestyle because I'm a hideously ugly man, and I never had any friends in high school except for Todd, who's also hideously ugly like me.
Friend?
Acquaintance.
I mean, there's a little too much jealousy coming through in that
I'm sorry.
Plot synopsis there.
Guys, sorry. I think Chris pretty much described it well. We can just end the podcast.
Done.
Right here,
yeah.
Right?
Done.
I think we're done.
I do have a lot of questions about this movie, and I'm hoping because you guys seen the whole thing from the beginning to the end, you can answer them for me, but I'm guessing you won't be able to. Scott, what did you think of Neon Maniacs?
I enjoyed it, actually. I could have used a little more gore for a slasher movie.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of kills on screen, but no, it was a neat concept. The costumes were great. The acting was decent. Very well filmed. And, you know, it felt like it could have come out in the theaters. I don't know if it actually did. But I enjoyed it. I might watch that again.
That's a complete lie. Rebecca, what did you think of Neon Maniacs?
I really like this one. It definitely...
What the fuck is wrong with these people, Chris? What is going...
And there was no Carnosaur.
Did we all just sleep through the same movie, or was it just me?
See, if you would have stayed awake, you might have enjoyed it.
Yeah,
but...
I like this movie too, Todd, so... Rebecca, sorry, continue.
There were lots of different creatures. The dialogue was like... good in a bad way. I think they did a really good job with this one.
Aaron?
I'm torn. I liked some of it. it was way too long. There's too many scenes of these village people wandering down hallways, very slowly shambling, or the guy swinging his arms like a gorilla. Just speed that shit up a little bit, and I would have liked it. I thought the special effects were pretty great. Acting was definitely good enough. I thought it was pretty funny. I want to like this one, but right now I'm not sure I feel that way about it.
Todd?
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly joking, not about the sleeping part, but it's not a terrible movie. It did get a little boring for me with some of the slow stuff that Aaron was talking about. I wish they would have replaced the shambling with just like more killing, but I did like the idea. I thought the idea was super campy, and I thought, like, especially those scenes in the beginning and the van and stuff, just really campy stuff to the point that it's hilarious. So it was mostly good.
Yeah, I thought though that they were sincere with everything. Like, I think they were trying to make a scary movie, especially during the beginning. After like that whole scene where all the teenagers are killed and she's in her swimming pool and stuff, they were trying to actually make something that was scary, I think.
Yeah, that part was pretty terrifying.
About everything in this movie. But then it would come to some dialogue or like 5-minute music video sequences that are just make it so campy that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculously awesome.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. This movie was fun.
This is from 86, it says. I think this is exactly the kind of bad movie that they tried so hard on when it first came out.
Can you say hard on a little slower for me?
He completely invalidates what I'm about to say. No, they put so much effort into it that it comes across as bad now, because some of those scenes were really meant to be terrifying, and it's just the whole like 80s shtick that makes it bad and campy.
Like, a question for you guys. Did you find the creatures to be scary? I thought the costumes were awesome, but they weren't scary in the slightest to me, and I think that's why I'm so torn with this. Like, it should be a horror movie. It feels like it's trying to be.
But that's a hard thing to judge. I mean, if you had never seen Alien and you watch it now, I doubt it would be scary to someone. Do you know what I mean? It just, I don't know.
It scares me a little bit.
I don't know if it's like, yeah.
For its time period, it probably was a little bit more scary. I mean,
right.
It's 30 years ago. They didn't have some of the stuff that we've seen since then. So, I mean, some of them were pretty gross looking. So it depends on what your view of scary is.
I think it's the shambling.
I think some of the implements were pretty scary too. There aren't too many bad guys that have like meat hooks. I think just the act of using a meat hook to stab someone and drag them is pretty terrifying to most people.
That meat hook guy looked exactly like a Cenobite from Hellraiser. He looked like the Chatterer or something, I think is what he's called.
Wait, but that didn't come out until later 80s,
exactly.
Right? That's like 88, 89.
When I saw that, I was like, holy shit, that looks just like him from Hellraiser. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's Hellraiser 1 or 2, but definitely one of those Cenobites. Ripped it off straight from fucking Neon Maniacs, a movie that no one's ever heard of. The production quality in this movie was pretty good.
It was really good. The costumes were great.
Like the lighting.
Special effects were really good too.
The cinematography, it was all competently made.
Yeah, definitely.
Except for the music.
That music, man, that was some crazy dude that they showed the movie to, and he wrote it as he was watching it, because there was parts with the where action was going on where he was like totally winging it on the synthesizers. He was like,
I think he was maimed in an accident on the ride over or something. You know, he had like three fingers.
It went like, sometimes it was like, oh, this is awesome. And then it would like just go so like dissonant for a while. I was like, this dude has no idea what he's doing.
I think some of it was a little too after school special though too.
Yes,
there were definitely parts of the movie where the music did not feel like it fit for me, because it felt like an after school special.
It felt like I was waiting to have my hair cut. Like in high school, I went to this old lady and I would go to the waiting room and it plays elevator music and it sounded like that shit.
Yeah, but there's a simple explanation for this. All the kids in this movie were 47 years old.
Oh my gosh.
They had to do everything possible to make it feel like they were high school kids.
Yeah.
Yes. So
that was the only downside.
Hi, Timmy.
We should explain. Who do we have character-wise? I did say Natalie, who is a high school student.
Natalie. So one of the cliques is like clearly a clique of seniors, or I'm guessing seniors, like people that are about to graduate, the people from the beginning, and it's just like paired off. They were, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8 seniors, and they all died in the beginning except for Natalie. So almost none of them matter except Natalie. But then I don't remember the younger girl's name.
I was just looking for that.
It doesn't matter what her name is, I guess, but she's almost like she's into scary stuff, but she's almost like a journalist of sorts about scary stuff. But she's the one that's like, I don't know, the sophomore or something. And she has a little clique of people around her, too. It might be.
Yeah, she was an aspiring filmmaker.
She's always, she's always like bugging the older kids. And mainly,
Paula.
Mainly the older kid she's bugging is Natalie, because Natalie had that experience and nobody believes her.
So wait, I do have a question
filmmaker.
Though.
Yeah.
Did anyone think that like Paula was supposed to be this nerdy character, but she totally looked like she could have been the popular like cheerleader character? Like she wasn't, you know what I mean? She wasn't dorky looking. The only thing they did was put a sideways hat on her.
I don't think she was supposed to be dorky as much as she was supposed to be.
She was a freshman. Yeah.
I'm not going to remember the term.
She was a freshman at 35. Really? She looked older than me.
Well, when compared to the 40-year-olds.
And honestly, I've let myself go in the last few years. So I don't know what was going on with her.
Early 2000s movie where the girl's like a nerd and then she takes off her glasses at the end and she's like, oh, she's so beautiful.
She's all that.
Yeah. Oh, who was that? And she's all that. Was that Jennifer Love Hewitt or something?
No.
It was
Rachel Lee Cook.
Rachel Lee Cook had ever looked bad in her life.
All they did was they put glasses on her and then she just takes off the glasses and she's beautiful.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. was
guys. Wait.
Quick, Scott, take off your glasses.
Oh my god, Scott, you're so beautiful.
Wait, let my hair down here.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh shit, did Fabio just join the podcast?
Please don't show your boxers now.
Yeah, that was what was made it campy, though. It was the fact that they tried to sell that as like real. Do you know what I mean? Like they took it seriously. Like we're supposed to believe that this girl's only 17 or 16 years old. She looks like she's 35.
I totally wasn't even kidding about the big bike. I think they bought her a gigantic bike to make her look smaller. And then they had to switch bikes when the adult handed it to her because they got the adult a peewee bike.
They had a midget stand in. I'm sorry, a little person stand in.
Whoa. I believe Chris now, likes to call them dwarves. Wait.
I believe I call them munchkins, but
they like to be called munchkins, I think.
No. All right. So then we also had, who was the other main character? Steven, yes. So we had Steven, who's another high school student who's...
Tears for Fears.
Yeah, he is very interested in Natalie in a romantic way, and...
He works for his father's deli or something?
Yeah, delivering
grocery
meat.
Delivery.
And he probably doesn't know that Natalie is the last virgin of San Jose. Or no, not San Jose. What?
San Fran.
Right. So he delivers...
Oh, he knows.
Natalie
wants to put an end to that.
It sounds so exotic.
He delivers Natalie a very large sausage.
And a French baguette.
Oh!
These are perishable. You gotta put them right in the fridge.
But those are our main characters. So, what I want to talk about is these neon maniacs. And I'm hoping you guys can answer some questions because I did, like I said, miss some stuff at the beginning and the end of the movie. Do they ever explain where these neon maniacs come from?
Yes.
Not at all.
Underneath the bridge.
Well, I knew that.
I have a little mind fuck scenario for you here, Chris.
Oh, fuck my mind, Todd. Fuck it good.
Do you think that they're trying to play on the whole trolls under the bridge thing?
No, I do not, Todd.
Okay.
I don't think well,
in that
that
case,
that
in that case, this might not be a very high level of mind fuck. That was the all only right. question.
I'm generally disappointed with you.
They don't explain at all where they came from, so I just thought they were trying to play off the whole trolls under the bridge thing, because some of them look pretty disgusting, and they all live under a bridge.
But the one was like an ancient samurai
guy. I know
they're not
all trolls.
Well, we wrote down the list of the different creatures. We have the samurai.
Okay. Yes.
We also have the Native American.
That's racist.
We have... I said Native American.
I believe they like to be called midgets.
We have the caveman. He's the one that likes to...
No, that I swear that's beast before he turned
blue. Neanderthal. Okay.
There's like a tin man that I think is also the electric man.
Yeah, he's something to
do
with
the one that produces
electric.
The lightning. There was the farmer. Some sort of
what a stupid movie.
He had on plaid and overalls. He's the one that went into the videographer's bedroom.
Oh yes. right.
I do remember that.
There's the orc type thing with the crossbow.
Yes.
Some
Lord
sort
of
Viking.
Reject.
Yes. Some sort of Viking. The soldier with like the full machine gun. The soldier complete with doctor, or sorry, the doctor with the doctor's bag that had the ether. There was just, we called him Ropey, the guy that had the
rope. Oh, he was my favorite.
There was the motorcycle guy.
Wait, wasn't he Ropey though? Motorcycle guy?
No, because motorcycle guy had on like the leather jacket and
but
stuff.
I thought he like later on roped a guy on the motorcycle.
No.
With a chain.
With the chain, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone. I completely fucked it up.
The axe man that just, he kind of looked
Holy
like...
Holy shit, this list is long.
Yeah. He kind of looked like the weird guy from Goonies.
Yeah, he did a little bit.
Hey, you guys!
And then there was the one-eyed...
Cyclops
crocodile thing. I think that was like the leader, because that's the one that attacked the police guy in the
at the end.
You gotta calm down with your theories here.
Please, in detail, explain to me why you think the one-eyed monster guy was the leader of these freaks.
Oh, he was like the most mutant of all.
He was. I'll give you that.
And during like the end fight scene, he was attacking the other mutants and
really?
Like moving them around.
Yeah,
damn,
I
missed
that part at all.
So I don't know. I think he was
I missed that.
That argument's sitting on eggshells. I'm not buying it. Probably tied the whole movie together too, didn't it? Wait, did he have the meat hook? Was he meat hooky?
Yeah. Yeah, because he grabbed the one guy with the meat hook and was like dragging him across the floor.
Yeah, there were definitely
one-eyed
two
monster.
Meat hooks.
The one-eyed crocodile thing.
What? So okay, so give me your theories, guys. Where did they come from? Where did the neon maniacs come from?
Well, I think they all tried out for much better movies. And it didn't work out, so they were like, let's just make this piece of shit movie where we all hide under a bridge. I mean, we're living under this bridge anyway.
But we did learn a little bit about the evolution of the Neon Maniacs throughout the movie, right? Because they have the yellow pus. And
they did show the gook.
And they do show that cop being changed into a maniac, correct?
No. What?
Not really.
What do you mean? She was filming it and she saw him.
No.
That was the cop.
No, that was the cop. You're mixing pieces of the movie.
No. He killed the cop and took his hat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And he tripped and fell in a puddle.
Okay, I thought they were changing people into maniacs.
Where's the neon come into play? I didn't see any.
I think it's the gook. The gook. It's the color of... Yeah. It's like neon.
Forensics didn't know what it was, so...
It's L.A. It's neon.
San Fran.
Oh, yeah,
San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, the most obvious answer is that the gook was green, neon green.
There was some neon at the very end at the Battle of the Bands.
Oh, can we talk about the songs?
What was your favorite song? Who would have won that battle? You had
The Outlaws.
Oh yes, The Outlaws. They sounded like Rick Springfield, and the other one sounded like a bad Guns N' Roses.
What were they called? The Violators or Validators or
the traffic, the parking validators.
Parking validators.
Yeah, and they had a pretty epic showdown, I will say that. They were completely different bands. I don't know how you would do a battle of the bands with, like, completely different genres of music. That doesn't seem fair, right?
I'm pretty sure we participated. I'm pretty sure we've participated in battle of the bands just like that.
Yeah, and they made fun of us. Even the vendor made fun of us.
That pizza guy made fun of us, and he sells pizza out of a cart for a living.
Oh man,
we were going places. He was just jealous.
Was that Syzygy circa 2003?
Yeah, it was. They did say my bass solos were off the chains, though. I do remember him saying that.
Is that what they said? That was the one thing they said. It's because they couldn't hear anyone else. Just so
that's
you
all they heard. Slap at the bass.
What was your favorite kill in the movie?
Hands down.
I got my answer.
We'll see if Todd's is the same as mine. The girl that was in the park that got her head chopped off.
That was my favorite too.
That was good.
That was nicely done.
He like barely noticed at first. Which makes me question, like, the quality of what was occurring.
Or maybe she was just that good that he...
Maybe. He was in euphoria or something, yeah.
I didn't see where her head went. Maybe it was still hanging there or something.
That's true. I'm pretty sure. And then he got cut in half, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
That was cool, because his face landed by his shoes.
Todd, what was your favorite...
My favorite kill was actually a monster kill instead. I like when she turned on the fire hose and it just took that one monster's head clean off. we haven't explained that yet, by the way. Did we?
No, we didn't explain the weakness of the neon maniacs, which is also unexplained in the movie. But for some reason, water is what does them in. And so they come out in one scene... They lumber out of the door of this... There's just this room underneath the bridge. And they constantly show you this door opening up and these neon maniacs stumbling out. But in one sequence, Paula is filming them and they stumble out. But then it starts raining. So you see them turn and go back in. And the rain damages the neon maniacs. We do not know why.
The best part of that is, though, the guy that falls, he stumbles into the puddle that's laying there. You'd think if your weakness was water, you're going to keep an eye out for any kind of puddles that might be around.
Why water? Like, there's so much water vapor in the atmosphere. That's the problem with that movie, Signs. They kill the aliens in Signs. But there's so much water in the atmosphere, it would just kill all the aliens. It would just kill all these neon maniacs, right?
Well, especially in San Francisco with all the fog.
Yeah, the fog. Do you have anybody think about the fog? You got to think about the fog. Is anyone thinking about it? Fog. Man,
you guys are...
I don't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
You guys are going all science guy on this movie over here.
Aaron, what was your favorite kill?
I don't think there's very many good kills of people. I think most of the kills were, I'm going to kind of go with Todd, were of the actual creatures. The way they dissolved and stuff in the water reminded me of Gremlins. I thought the effect was really cool. And gooey and nasty, and that part was awesome. So all the creature deaths were fantastic. The human deaths were okay.
Felt like they held back. Yeah, they held back a lot. And they held back a lot with, like, they didn't say the F word or anything, which was weird. Mm-hmm.
It was
an R-rated movie. No, it was R-rated. But they held back so much. Like, they had breasts on at the beginning of the movie when they're all those kids are in the park and stuff. But they didn't want to show too much gore, and they every time someone would say fuck, they were like, oh, gee willikers, or oh, you dirty man, or so whatever. There were so many bad lines because of it.
Is this some weird role-playing thing you do with your wife?
Yeah.
Gee willikers.
Golly.
Whoosh.
Where were Natalie's parents the whole time?
She's 42. She doesn't need her parents.
That was her house. She lives by herself.
Was it? So she survived this brutal attack from these neon maniacs at the beginning of the movie, and they kill a whole bunch of teenagers. And she's the only one to survive. And so this was a part of the movie that stuck out to me. She's like back home, and she's getting calls from like the other parents of these murdered teens. And they're like, where's my son? Where? It was like, it was very dark.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of didn't fit the tone of the movie. Because the rest of the movie felt like, you know, fun, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, that was the one weird part, that it would ever be her responsibility to, like, field all these questions from other parents.
It was like if you watched Friday the 13th and Jason killed everyone and someone survived, and then the last scene in the movie is, like, one of the mothers calling up, where's their son, and, like, going on this long diet. Like, it doesn't fit at all. Do you know what I mean?
Well, her response was to go swimming, so apparently it didn't really...
Yeah, she got suspended from school. They didn't think it would be constructive for her or the other students to be there, so she stayed home and just went swimming.
So, you have a game, Rebecca?
I do have a game.
Oh.
This took place underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. So, we're going to do a game about numbers that have to do with the Golden Gate Bridge. So, it's going to be Price is Right rules, closest... without going over.
Okay.
So first off, what year was the bridge first proposed?
1870.
1850. 1878.
1867.
All right, the actual answer was 1872. Gets that one.
Cheater.
All right. How many lawsuits were filed against the bridge in 1930 alone?
Oh, 27. That's the incident. That's going to be like 104.
27.
Incident?
I'm going to say trick question, zero.
Before we were so litigious of a society, I'm going to say 104.
But isn't that exactly what I said?
I'm pretty sure. You have the answers in front of you.
That's exactly what I said.
You just talked about the incident. whatever incident occurred.
And then I said 104.
I said 27.
105.
All right. Well, Aaron gets that one because the correct answer was 2,300 lawsuits.
Oh my fuck.
Yeah.
What?
Most of them were like from the Sertoma, not the Sertoma Club. What's the nature one?
National
Geographic. Sierra. Club. Yeah. About like destroying the beauty of the area.
But wow, that's weird.
Because of the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would question that because I think the bridge itself is kind of beautiful.
Now.
Well, I guess they didn't know what it was going to look like or.
That's true.
But, 2,300. How many people attended the groundbreaking ceremony in
1933?
33,000.
Six.
12,000.
14.
Chris gets that one. 100,000 people.
Holy shit. For a bridge? These people had nothing to do. Nothing to fucking do.
It was 1933. That's true. A big deal.
Was TV invented then?
Great Depression.
Was there even enough ground around for them
Could
to
you
stand
get online
on?
Pornography? Was there online pornography?
They had to put a nickel in one of those little machines and crank the wheel.
I didn't think that's where you were getting to put the nickel. I'm going to be honest.
They were cranking it.
How many miles of steel wire were used to make the cables?
Oh, man.
That's a good
one.
602.
346 miles.
Two times 48 is 96.
And Chris, you said eight?
Yep.
Scott, you get that one. The correct answer is 80,000 miles.
Holy 80, shit.
80,000.
Are you serious?
I missed a couple thousands in my...
Oh my God, that's insane.
It's like super thin steel wire that they put together with a special process the cables.
This is bullshit.
I was thinking the cables themselves.
How many copper threads do we use to make this cable?
Yeah. How many carbon atoms are in this nanotube?
Yeah, 860 kabillion.
I showed your mom a nanotube.
Oh,
sorry to hear that.
I don't think that's
good for something to brag about.
It sounded like she was impressed by that.
How many men were saved by the net that was used under the bridge during construction?
Trick question. None, because there was no net. They all fucking died.
That was my answer.
Just one, good old Charlie Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson.
102.
What is your nickname, Todd, in high school?
Is that when it stopped?
Well, I don't know. Whatever I started calling you that.
Aaron gets that one. The correct answer was 19. Lucky folks were saved.
They didn't put him in until the last day of construction or something?
Then they immediately died of cancer from whatever construction materials were being used.
438 people fell to the ground before they installed nets. 19 were saved.
This is actually one of the...
Seems like better ratio than Foxconn, though, right? Are you with me?
Oh, their nets work, though. Their nets work.
Go ahead. Make jokes while you tweet on your Apple phone.
Get back to making those iPhones. You're not allowed to kill yourself.
This was actually one of the safest big projects. Like, not nearly as many people died as you would expect.
It's not like the Panama Canal.
Like the Hoover Dam.
Yeah. The Hoover Dam.
And the 19 people that fell into the net and lived, they were said to have gone halfway to hell. That was like they joined the halfway to hell club. Hit the net. Yeah.
I wonder how far they fell. Hit that.
Well, how far is hell?
And then half of that.
Man, that would be terrifying, wouldn't it?
Yeah. How many rivets are in each tower?
You know how many rivets, Rebecca. Don't lie.
In each tower?
Each tower, yeah.
Is this a relaxed tower?
I'm going with 12,000.
84,000.
4,300.
916,000.
Let's see. Closest is Todd on that one.
Wow.
What? 600,000 rivets.
What? That's a lot of rivets. And, you know, I love rivets.
It's riveting.
You know that. You guys know that about me. I'm a big rivet guy, and that's a lot of rivets.
Guess we're not doing Price is Right rules, because I was way over.
Yeah, really?
That's okay. What?
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Scott got that one. Just kidding.
Scott, you got it. You're the winner. Bob Barker's going to come over and fuck you later.
Aww.
What?
Bob Barker doesn't do this anymore. It's what's his face?
It's Drew Carey. Yeah.
Drew Carey's going to come fuck you.
He lost so much weight.
His hair's all blonde. By the way, if they fell halfway, it would be 110 feet.
That's
pretty fast. That's not too bad.
So 11 stories. Yeah.
Yeah, but the first nets were made out of steel, so you just kind of got
oh, my God.
That would
be amazing.
Cost of the bridge.
12.
Is this in 2017 dollars or in 1930
dollars? No, this was 1930 dollars.
Oh, okay.
$27.
$1.2 million.
$43 million.
$200,000.
Man, we are all over the map right there.
Yeah, we are. Chris gets that one. The correct response was $35 million.
God. So that'd be like $400 million nowadays.
Oh, that'd be billions.
Way more than that.
Yeah.
You think
yeah.
so?
Yeah.
You were supposed to You were supposed to agree with him. He was trying to like throw some quick math at you guys. Like,
don't you put words in my mouth, you son of a bitch?
What does the bridge weigh? How many tons?
Am I standing on it?
480 tons.
That doesn't seem like enough tons.
I don't know, really. I can't really. Okay, yeah, 48,000 tons.
20,000 tons. This is steel, guys.
Yeah, it's big steel girders.
Todd, did you give your response?
No, he's still back there searching Google. Math. He's furiously Googling to try and win this contest.
I can't furiously Google. I got blue switches in my new keyboard. You would hear it all right now.
Yeah, I need to get that. I need to get some of those. It's on my Amazon.
96,000 tons.
All right. Correct. Our closest on that is Todd. 894,500 tons.
Holy shit.
It is giant.
That is quite impressive.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Coming in right under your mom, Chris. Oh.
Oh!
Wow, my mom has been nothing but nice to you. This is how you'll treat her, huh?
All right, so last question along the lines that Chris was talking about. I went the positive route, though. How many people have survived trying to commit suicide off the bridge?
Oh, this is tough. This is tough because the tides are so fast.
I'll give you this. 1,600 have been successful.
Oh, this doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, though. Even if you survive the fall, the tides are so fast right there, you just get ripped out to sea and drown. So it's going to be low. It's going to be like 40 people survived.
I'm going 80.
3,200.
27.
Aaron gets that one. 30 people. 30
wow.
people. Yeah. So let's see. And Aaron is our winner with 3.
Aaron, yeah.
I know job, my Aaron. Bridge stuff.
I don't want Drew Carey to come to my house and fuck me.
Too bad. He's coming tonight.
Sorry, get that's ready. What you get.
Get ready. He's coming for you.
Tag team with Bob Barker.
Oh. It's corpse, right? Isn't he dead?
No,
he's still kicking.
Yeah. That was a good game. There was a lot fun. Of knowledge in that. Hidden in that little nugget there you gave us.
Should have added how many creatures live under the bridge, because apparently it is a lot.
How long is that bridge? Do you know?
1.2 miles.
Wow, that is really long.
I just totally made that up. Why are you...
Yeah, he's not serious.
Stop listening to me.
It's more than that.
It is 8,981 feet.
Hey, I'm not that far off.
Which is
1.7.
That's about 1.6, 1.7.
That is really long, though. And what year did they begin construction on that bridge?
1933.
Wow, that is really crazy.
It's 1.2 miles.
I just said that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
5,280 feet in a mile. You said almost 9,000 feet?
Yeah, now I'm looking somewhere else.
It don't matter.
Yeah. No, no. It does matter, Chris, because I guessed the length of the bridge, like, without knowing anything.
We're not here to stroke your ego, Todd.
Yeah.
Abutment to abutment, it's 1.7 miles.
That's how I like it.
But the suspension span is 1.2 miles.
Oh, so we're all right.
Yes.
What were you guys expecting going into this movie called Neon Maniacs? Because we had to pull a quick change. We were going to originally watch Warrior and the Sorceress.
I'm still pretty bummed about that, by the
power
way.
Power outage and all that shit. I said, we're watching Neon Maniacs, and you guys knew nothing about it. So what did you think it was going to be about?
I thought it was going to be like 80s sci-fi. Lots of neon, punk rockers, cyberpunk kind of thing.
Okay. Anyone else?
I was thinking along the same lines, because it definitely didn't fit what I thought it was going to be or what I envisioned.
For some reason, whenever I hear Maniacs, I think Mad Max ripoff. I thought it was going to be like Mad Maxy, and like, but except everyone was neon for some reason, like painted.
Yeah, I was thinking like a biker gang or something.
So it subverted all of your expectations.
Whoa.
That depends.
That's
what's
a fancy word.
That depends what subverted means.
Okay. One thing I did, and maybe I missed this in the movie though, they did like cut back very rarely to these cops kind of investigating the murders that were occurring, but they never really established those characters.
No, like we didn't even really know any of their names.
Right. And I thought that was going to be like a large subplot in the movie, as it would keep cutting back to them kind of like trying to figure out what's going on.
I liked Lieutenant Devin with his cigars and his mustache.
He was so
boring. His wisecracks. He needed to be on screen more.
I don't know. I just thought they were going to be more important to the story, or they were going to be like a subplot that wasn't introduced and quickly forgotten.
Yeah, like the, I don't know, I kept calling him Owen Wilson guy that was supposed to be tailing them. Like, he gets killed in the school, and then it just doesn't matter. Like, the other cops don't even care.
Would you care if Owen Wilson got killed in the school?
Mm.
There you go. That about sums that up. I don't know. The whole resolution that these characters come to with, well, we know water kills the neon maniacs, so let's all go to the dance and just hand out water guns, and then I'll do my battle of the bands thing, doesn't really seem that thought out.
Speaking of the dance, it was at the school, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yet they were serving beer.
It's the 80s.
Well, I looked it up. The drinking age went to 21 in 1984. Just 2 years before this movie came out.
Close enough.
Yeah? At the school?
Well, I don't know about at the school, but...
Man, can you imagine drinking at school, at the prom? How many people would get impregnated?
Todd, I think the quote you were looking for was, did you hear that sick sound? Yeah, it was creepy. Probably your mom howling out her anti-sex warning.
That's the one I was thinking of. That's pretty clever.
Anti-sex warning?
Yeah.
There were no adults in this movie. Did you guys notice that? Besides the cops?
There was lots of adults in this movie.
There were no kids.
It was only adults.
Yeah, I know.
Adult characters.
There was no adult characters.
Her parents were in it for a second.
For 1 second.
Yeah.
Oh, your friends died? That's nice. We're going on vacation. Good luck. Why'd they just leave her there home alone?
Especially after like a traumatic event that she went through.
Builds character, Chris. Builds character. You wouldn't understand.
They're rich. Yes. They don't have time for that.
Man, I wish I was rich and didn't have time for my kids. All right. Aaron, would you recommend Neon Maniacs?
For somebody like me, no. If you like
fun?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't recommend it. I didn't enjoy it that much. It's fun to talk about. There's some cool parts, but overall I found it really boring.
Okay. Scott?
I wouldn't actively seek it out, but if you came across it on TV late at night, I'd stick around and watch the whole thing.
Rebecca?
I would recommend it. I liked it. I thought it was campy enough. It was good effects. I say watch it.
Todd.
Yeah, I'm going to go Aaron's route a little bit. It wasn't the type of movie for me, but that's because I don't actively seek out like slasher movies, or I don't know. I'm not trying to stereotype it either, but if you like those like horror slasher type movies, I would say, yeah, give it a watch, because it's fun. It's campy, but it's just not like my type of movie personally, so I probably wouldn't watch it again.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a serious 80s slasher monster movie. that they took very seriously, but had so many campy elements because everything was so ironically funny. The special effects were fun, and the acting and the one-liners and stuff. I don't know, made a good time. It's doesn't make any sense. I don't know how anyone came to this idea and wrote this, because they don't bother to explain any backstory to anything or any reason to why what is occurring. So you just kind of have to go with it. But it doesn't really slow down too much. Maybe during the second act a tiny bit, but for the most part, I thought it was a pretty fun movie. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm much more excited about next week, Chris.
All right, so next week.
Oh, man, Sorceress.
We are going to watch The Warrior and the Sorceress, yeah, which is what we were supposed to watch tonight, but next week we're going to watch it, starring David Carradine and some stuff. We'll find out what happens because I haven't seen it yet, but tune in next week and we will give you our thoughts on that. If you like what you heard, go to the iTunes.com and leave us a review. Let us know what you thought of the Neon Maniacs, or if you have any questions for us, send it to info@badmovienight.com, and we will catch you all next week. And then until then,
stay neon.
You can't say something bridge related.
Bridges are cool.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night podcast. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. You must be crazy. Man, I've seen some bad films. When I say bad, I didn't watch them all the way through. If I had, I'd be crazy by now.